Amen. Well, it's good to be saved, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, you know what we found out today? That this is a full-service church. You know those guys that go out and ask everybody, what do you want in a church? You really went to the... Well, you had to be there. Or you'll bear me alive. Amen. Well, it's good to be saved, good to be in church. This is a little bit loud. Well, that's a little bit too soft.
There's a little ring off of this too when it gets too low.
Oh, is that it? Okay. Still, can you hear me? Testing 1, 2, 3. Yeah, best I've sounded all week. Open your Bibles to place. Before you do, I just want to mention this. We got a new poster in. Where is Bruce Day? The madness of Bruce Day has struck again. And this one is, listen, mothers and all the girls in the church, you want to go by and see that poster. That is a tremendous poster. So this is just for the girls, all right? And you will like it, and it's over there, and they're $1,000 a piece. All right, two places, Exodus chapter 23 and Numbers chapter 13. Exodus 23. And really, I just have an admonition for you tonight. Exodus 23, Numbers 13. Exodus chapter 23 says this in verse 1, Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Let's bow our heads and we'll look later. Father, it's good to be saved. It really is, God. Good to be saved, good to be in church, good to be around these people. Father, the energy, Father, the desire here for you, it is just refreshing. God, I hope that you are getting as much as we're getting, because you certainly deserve it. Father, I pray that you'll bless the service, bless the message. Lord, you know all the things about me that would prevent this message from being presented. And I pray, God, you'll get those things out of your way and out of these people's way, and that you will edify your church and all the people here, that ultimately we would glorify thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. It says, thou shalt not raise a false report, nor put thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. And just like, you know, this thing about this counseling, you know, two words, I have two words, stop it. Well, I have two words for you tonight. Quit lying. And that's really it. Quit lying. Now, I'm not talking, there's all kinds of lies, okay? I mean, there are some people, you know, I like what they say about Bill Clinton, he believes his lies. Really, I mean, when he says a lie, he is convinced it's the truth. Guys haven't heard the truth in so many years, he doesn't know what it is. And there are liars like that. And there are liars, you know, people that will lie, you know, they'll try to lie to get out of trouble, some lie to get into trouble, some lie to cover their tracks. And that is not the lie I'm talking about. This says, thou shalt not raise a false report. Right? What is a false report? That is not just lying, you know, like you lie about somebody. That's not it. A false report is where you tell somebody when they say, how is it? And you tell them something other than how it is. If it's good, you tell them it's bad. If it's bad, you tell them it's good. Whatever, you're not telling them the truth about how it is. And I want you to see this in action. Numbers chapter 13. And in Numbers chapter 13, Israel had sent the spies into the promised land. You know the story. They were there. They were there for 40 days. 12 of them, you know, 10 were good, or 10 were bad, and 2 were good. And they start talking in verse 26, as when they came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran in Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now we know the fruit of this land was good stuff, correct? I mean, they're carrying a cluster of grapes on a pole between two guys. I don't necessarily think the grapes were this big. I think the cluster was that big. I think it's just one of them. You know, now I got to say this. I've never seen bigger grapes in my life than these guys had here. They were like small watermelons. Oh, you have those green grapes out there. I mean, I hurt my back picking one up. but I think this was, and let's face it. You know, somebody said, I want to sell you some land, and they brought a cluster of grapes, they had to carry in between two guys' shoulders, and said, this is just a little bit of how fruitful the land is. I would buy it sight unseen. Correct? But that wasn't where Israel was. Not only did they have visual proof of how good this was, how had God described this land? Milk and honey. Look, I'm not even interested in honey. I'm sorry, if you're a honey person, I'm glad for you. I am a sugar person. You know, that's just poison. Yeah, I know. Well, I'm trying to get to heaven. You know, look, there was a time when I wanted to, rappel down a cliff and skydive and all other stuff. And now if I want to live dangerously, I just use real sugar and real salt. You know, I'll just get that salt shaker and live on the ragged edge. And your pastor can't drink milk. But I got to tell you something, even though I'm not one of those honey people, that term, milk and honey, flips my switch. I mean, I would like it just because it sounds so good. So that's what they got, and now they see the fruit. And then it says this, look at verse 27, and he told them. And they told him and said, we came on the land where thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. But the men that went with him said, we be not able to go up against this people, the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report. Isn't that what it said? Remember that? A false report. They're bringing up an evil report of a good place. Right? They're not only bringing up an evil report of a good place, they're bringing up an evil report of the very place that is a gift of God. This is the provision of God, isn't it? They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, you remember the other day, I think it was to the men, I was talking to you about Numbers 14. Look at Numbers 14, verse 12. God got so mad about this, he said, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. God said that because he got so mad, because he said, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. They're all excited about it. And when they hear about it, they go, oh man, it's you don't want to go there. It's really not that great. He said, I'll kill them all. Boy, I'll tell you what, man, you get God in the killing mood, brother. I mean, he'll make history. He did that one time, only 8 people survived. Right? So when God gets in a killing mood, brother, I mean, you want to be an undertaker. All right? Who's right with God at that particular moment? And I pointed out to the men down in verse 19, the reason that we don't talk about the nation of Moses instead of the nation of Israel is verse 19, where Moses said, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast given or forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. People, when I say quit lying, I mean quit bringing an evil report about how good God's been to you. Now, I am a Baptist, okay? I'm not one of these capital B, Jesus was a Baptist, preacher Baptist, okay? But I am a Baptist. I am a Baptist. Somebody asked me, how come you're a Baptist? I said, I am a Baptist because eating is one of the ordinances of our church. You want to get a Baptist excited, have food. We like to have fellowship over food. You know why? Because if the fellowship wasn't too good, you had food. There are some people say, we want to have some fellowship. And I say, well, we better eat. But but let me tell you something about Baptists. Independent, King James, Bible-believing Baptists, what we are. I never seen a group of people in my life who could, you know, life for them is a giant raisin. You know what a raisin is? That is a grape that has lost the joy of its salvation. We are the only people that if we found a $20 bill on the ground, we'd pick it up and go, I needed 50. That's the truth. And you know, now look, I get this all the time. I'm in a different church every week. I just had a guy ask me this, and they ask it this way. They don't say, how the church is doing. They go, brother, how the church is doing. And I want to say, oh, they're all closed. Yeah, haven't you heard? Oh, yeah, and they'll be boarding the doors up on this one next week. I mean, we love to hear bad news. I'm not talking about gossip. Yeah, we love to hear gossip. But that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, we are convinced, so convinced in our brain that everything is bad, that we are the ones that put a bad spin on it. We gripe about the news media taking good news and putting a bad spin on it, but we put a bad spin on everything we get. You know, I was telling one of the guys yesterday, before I got saved, I held one Christian tenet very dear to me. Communism was of the devil. Say, is that a Christian tenet? Well, if it didn't, it ought to be. And when I got saved, I found out that I didn't have to change that. When I changed some of my stuff, I used to believe in purgatory, stop that. Used to believe you could work your way to heaven, stop that. You know, I changed some stuff, but I didn't change that one because the group I was with believed the same thing. The communism was of the devil, and it had to go. And in 1990, it went. And some of the very guys that said communism is of the devil and has to go, when it went, they get up and went, you know, I think the fall of communism is a trick of the devil. Well, what's the matter? Don't you know how to win one? Really? And you talk to guys, and you know, we are afraid. Listen, this is the truth. We are afraid to give a good report. We think that if we tell people, I don't know what we think, but if we tell people things are good, oh man, we're in trouble. I mean, if you preachers, you know, how's your church doing? Good. Oh, you must be compromising. Well, what doctrine did you drop? Using NIV now? Did you go contemporary? I mean, really, people, isn't that the truth? And we twist everything we hear, and we do everything we can so that we can poor mouth, and you know what? God has been good to us. God has blessed us. He has blessed us personally. He has blessed us as churches. And every time somebody asks how we're doing, we have to tell them we're doing bad. That's an evil report. That's a lie. And it got God mad enough to want to kill a whole nation. You ever seen a Baptist that had enough money? No, I'm not talking about a rich Baptist who was greedy and wanted more. Good night. If you had a rich Baptist, you'd never know. Look, I don't play the lottery, okay? Not only do I not play the lottery, I never find a ticket blowing down the sidewalk that happened to be a winning number. I was at a church one time. We're at a guy's fellowship, and after church, we're having food. And a bunch of these men from the church were in the living room and the kids, and somebody said something about the lottery. Said, oh, man, who'd want to play the lottery? And these two kids went, our dad does. He said, well, it was just $3. Shut up. We heard someplace somebody won $14 million in the lottery. Kathy said, you know, if you ever played the lottery, you'd probably win $14 million. And then nobody have you in to preach. And I said, if I won $14 million, who'd care? I said, if I won $14 million, you know what I'd do? I'd start calling preachers up, say, I'll give you $10,000, let me preach. Buddy, you would see convictions fall from the sky in flames. And if, look, if somehow you won the lottery or came into the in possession of $1 million, and somebody went and said, "Hey, I heard you got $1 million," no, you'd say, "Well, yeah, it was just one, man. There's only one." We are so geared to give a bad report about the blessing of God on our lives, on our ministries. People, we need to quit lying. When preachers get together who believe the book, all they do is talk about how bad things are. "Oh yeah, you know, they'll probably be by next week to scoop us up and send us to the compound. You know, they're going to send us to the concentration camps." And man, I put in my next letter. It's in the mail right now. We get done here tomorrow. We finish up and fly to the Arctic. And I put in there that I'm going to the Arctic to check on the concentration camps that we're building to put the liberals in. I did. You say, why? But scare them. You say, that's a lie. Yeah, that's the best one I ever told. don't worry. I'm gonna confess it. I'm trying to wait for a little remorse. It hadn't happened yet. Do you know that it's not as bad? Look, can I tell you, preacher, something? There's more to the ministry than martyrdom. Every preacher I know that believes the King James Bible is living for the day that they will be a chapter in Fox's Book of Martyrs, Volume 2. That is the truth. I talked to a guy one time, said, "Well, now some of this, well, I'm going to leave somebody behind and date myself, but they're going to go, well, I guess I'm just going to, well, God's saving me for when we all stand up there in front of Telstar before the whole world." Telstar was an early telecommunications satellite. Some of you are going, "Yes, and I know how old you are." And look, I got news for a bucko. If you're not doing nothing now, God ain't going to be able to use you then. You know what I'm here to tell you tonight? It's not as bad as we lie. It is not as bad as we say. Here's what I... You ever hear this? "Oh, you know, this deputation, our missionaries, you know, they got to go out in deputation." Well, I think it's good. I really do. And I'm not... Look, if you're a missionary, I know you say... I know the biggest burden is going into a church, not knowing a preacher, and having to do the tap dance, and the guy saying, "What do you believe about this?" All this stuff. But you know that Bible-believing ministries, our missionaries, are hitting the field in 18 to 24 months. In this bad economy, when the whole thing's falling apart, and the wheels are coming off of, and the devil's in control, then how come we're putting missionaries out on the field like that? Because it's not as bad as we say. But we have to say something bad. If we have a subject, we have to conjure something up in our heads to be bad about it. "Oh, yeah, you know, missionaries, poor people out there." They are getting out there. And by the way, we've got some good ones. Brother, I am telling you, if you want to invest in something, invest in a King James Bible believing ministry. That is a better return than Walmart stock. Where's Brad Wells? Brad Wells right here. Stand up for a second, Brad. Sit down. Brad Wells is one of the finest men I know. I'm not talking about being a good man. He is a good man. He is morally good. I'm talking about there is something in here that's really good. And this guy, you know where he is? He is poised to affect an entire nation. Putting translators, radio towers and translators all over New Guinea. And he is poised to touch a major part of an entire nation. King James Bible. "Yeah, things are sure bad. But that's what, well, you know, those translators, they'll probably break. Someone will come and cut the wires." I mean, that's how we are, isn't that right? Look, I'm not telling you that we're having revival, but why can't we take some good news? Our missionaries are getting out there. Our churches. People are, well, you know, church is doing bad. Are they doing bad? You're building. Don't tell me this is compromise. I don't care if you're a member of this church and say we compromise. I don't believe it. This is God's blessing. Brother Sal, you built, right? How long ago? 4 years? 5 years? All right. They just built a building. Tom, when did you guys get done? Last year, what's your auditorium seat? 450. He's only got 22 people, but He's really trusting God big time. He just figured the rapture is going to happen next month. The Antichrist paid for it. That's in Connecticut, guys. Spiritually, Connecticut is like walking outside and licking the desert. And he is building it. He's built a church of 450. Wait, he got a building, added on to one end of it, added on to another end of it, bought another building and a yard, a property away, then built a building between the two of them, and that's his 450-seat auditorium. You know, church is really doing bad. And he's not a compromiser. Ed, you guys just expanded yours a little while back because you remember I was in your building and you used to be facing this way and now you're facing this way because you knocked out a wall and had to add on to the building. Jim Burnett. Did Jim leave? There he is. Jim Burnett, Norfolk Bible Baptist Church. He had a half of a building and you now have the whole building, right? That's because things are so bad, guys. Yeah, you know, he's going to be out there selling pencils on the street next week. Where's Dave Morrow? Is he here? He just added on to his building not too long ago, correct? We were just up there, and he's just added on to his building. Twice. Brian Lego, stand up. I only want him to stand up because when he stands up, it's serious. That is 6'8" worth of stand up. He's taller than I am when he sits down. Listen, he's got a church in Martville, New York. Get a map. You will find Martville is a speck on the map. That is an actual realistic size production of Martville. There are more people in this room than there are in Martville. You know how you got these old towns and everybody's moved out and you got the old downtown section? There's not even one of those. I have no idea. I've preached this church I don't know how many times. I have no idea where Martville is. The only two non-residential buildings are an old Maupaw gas station that closed many years ago and a U.S. post office about the size of a four-car garage. And the nearest town is what, 12 or 15 miles away? 15 miles away. And they just knocked down the trees he's got to build. He's got about 125, 130 people. You say, I mean, there is nothing where he's at. And he's got every excuse under the sun for saying, I don't have anything. And instead, they're knocking down the trees. They're getting ready to put up a building because things are so bad. Yeah. Hal Roscoe, where's Hal? Hal's got a piece of property. Hal rents a building, and he's been praying for everybody in to die so he could buy it. I've been praying. He rents it from another old church. There's only about 8 people left, and I'm just saying, you know, I think they all ought to take aerobics so they all go... I told him, I said, Hal, take them all out jogging. You'll have the building in a week. Hal's got a prime piece of property, and he's going to be putting a building up on it because things are so bad. Steve Andrus. Steve, you guys bought a building, and did you add it on to it too, didn't you? Or, yes, sir, refurb. And you ought to see it. It's beautiful. And this is in San Pedro, California. The whole building's about the size of those three pews. No, man, listen, this, you ought to see how nice that building is. And it was just it was an eyesore. And he got that building because he outgrew the building that he had. I had a fella in Ohio show me a church. He wanted to buy this church building, and it was little, and it had room for about 70 people max. He had about 40 people in his church. He said, should I buy it? I said, how much they want? He said, $19,000. I said, buy it. He said, but I said, there are no $19,000 mistakes. I said, buy the building. It had new plumbing, new electric. The only thing it needed was carpeted. It was a mistake. He outgrew it in a year, bought another building, and converted that one into his house. Isn't that nice? Because things are so bad. Spencer's going to be building. Spencer's got a piece of property, and that's the church that was going to close, guys. With Spencer there, you'd think it would. John Allen, I just saw John Allen, and you guys just expanded big time, didn't you? Guys, you know what our problem is? Now look, I'm going to tell you something. Every one of these men, you say they're a compromiser. I ain't got much fight, but I'll fight you. Because they're not compromisers. You say, what do you reckon it is? Maybe God is blessing. Maybe God is blessing and we're lying. and we're bringing a false report. And I'll tell you something else about our future. Some of you guys, some of you preachers, you know what? You have had ideas. You know you got ideas here, and you'll get ideas next year. You got ideas last year. 2 years ago, some of you got ideas here. I mean, you got ideas. But I got news for you. Some of you had ideas on how to grow your church, and a little voice inside you said, oh, you can't do that. Well, I got news for you. That voice wasn't God. Right. Unless you had an idea like getting rid of the songbooks and get a screen and follow. You know, that wasn't God. Trust me. That God never told you that. But I am telling you guys that some of you had an idea what to do, and a voice inside you said, oh boy, I can't do that. I'll be compromising. God is trying to grow our churches, and God is trying to bless us. Now, let me tell you something that you preachers preach. You preach that your people are going to be, they're going to have to answer not for what they do, but for what they could have done. Right? Well, guess what, bucko? You're going to answer for what you could have done. I mean, if your people are, we preachers are going to do it too, aren't we? And if you could have done something not compromising, and there's a whole lot you can do that's not compromising. If you can do something not compromising to grow your church, you're going to answer for not doing it. If you could build and you don't knock out a wall, or you don't build, well, you know, we have to go across town, then go across town. Well, oh, listen, there's always an excuse. There's that little old woman that lives in all of us. Well, what do we do? Bury her alive in a box. And now let me just tell you this, and I'll be done, because I want to talk to you about something I'm excited about. You know, I got saved in a church of 5,000 people. That's a big church. In our college and career class, there were 425 college-age kids. And we were so excited, man. Listen, we were so excited, we would have gone to hell and strangled the devil to death ourselves with our bare hands if somebody would have said, why don't you do that? They wouldn't have to give us an order to say, wouldn't it be neat if somebody, and you'd have heard a whoo. We called ourselves? We were headhunters. I mean, if you were dead, but not more than 3 days, if there's still a little body warmth, we led you to Christ. I knew a guy, he was going through pennies, lost one three mannequins to the Lord. I mean, we were beating the bushes. You know how my wife and I dated? I was very, very lost when I was lost. When I got saved, I didn't know what to do with a Christian girl. I just knew I couldn't do anything they ever did with an unsaved girl. So we went up, that was the age of the hippies, and we went up to this YMCA where all these hippies used to hang around outside, and we'd just go up there in the evenings. Pretty soon a bunch of young people went up there, and we won something like 30 or 40 of those hippies to the Lord. That was our date life. That was a pretty good one. Well, it's nothing we have to regret about. But let me tell you what happened to that generation. You know what we got told? Well, Lord's coming back next 6 months, no sense trying anything. And so many of those young people in that church of 5,000 people, they got told, you're going to end up in a concentration camp. The country's going to be taken over by 1976. You know, the Lord's coming back in 6 months, no sense in trying. And today, those guys are gone. Yeah. We got a bucket of cold water. There are some. I'm one of them. There are some of them that are doing something for God, but not near what should have. Now, let me tell you, and this is not a false report. I've been preaching for 35 years. And for the first time in 35 years since I got saved, I'm seeing that in another generation. They call this generation Y. I think I'd like to call it the generation Why Not. I am seeing a hunger. I'm seeing a hunger in the eyes of our young people that if I was the devil, I wouldn't want to see. You understand? I am seeing a generation, our 20 to 30 year olds, and I probably said something about this before, but I am seeing a spirit in our young people that if we will not throttle them, they will accomplish great things for God. Amen. If we will not tell them, well, you can't do that, well, you're probably going up in a concentration camp, and you'll never be a father, and you'll never be a mother, and there's just no hope, and you know, they're probably building the concentration camps right now for us, and the Lord's coming next week anyway. You look what you got right here. David Heaton, how old are you, Dave? They're so sharp. I think I'll just stop there. Bury him alive in a box. I was looking up there at those guys singing this morning. David Havman. That's a good guy. Daniel. That is a good guy. Mike Sherry. That is a good guy. I'm telling you people, our young people are primed and ready to go. They are primed and ready to go. And we're knocking their generation the way they are outside our church, but we're carrying it over into our church, and inside our church are not like that. John Marshall, Matt Marshall. Hey, Nathan Gibb. In spite of his last name, he's pretty good. Where's Jason Woodward? Is he still here? Jason. I'm telling you what, that guy wants to serve God so bad he'd taste it. I mean it. Listen, I mean, if God told him, go out on the railroad tracks, the train coming, and just grab it in front and stop it, he'd go, yep. If that's what he thought God wanted him to do, he'd do it. I'm telling you, it's a good man.
Yes, sir.
Andy Zenz, where'd I see Andy? Andy from Canada. There he was, over here. Stand up. He's from Canada. This, you sit down. This is not an American phenomenon. They have got nutso Canadians. If you know Brandon Lake is one of the finest young men you ever met in your life. I was preaching up in Nova Scotia. I was just preaching up in up near Winnipeg, up in Portage la Prairie. And I am telling you that I saw their young Canadian young men and young ladies. And ladies, look, I'm not ignoring you, all right? But I'm trying to point out here, I saw those people, those young people, and I am telling you they will do something for God. They are poised to do something for God. These guys are just like this. Donnie DeMichael. Well, most of them, see, most of them are okay. But you know what our problem is? We're going to throttle these guys. We're going to give these guys so many bad reports, they're going to give up. I prayed this afternoon with some of these guys. I am telling you, you talk about honored. I was honored to pray with some of these young men. They are something else. And you know what? They're ours. They are ours. You know what we need to do? You know, I like what Brother Rick said. There's a certain sadness to it, but you got to admit the truth. And I can't remember the exact words, but he was saying something about we're not, him and I, our generation is not going to see, if there's a revival in the United States, we probably won't see that revival. That's all, well, there's no time for it. You don't know anything. Okay? You don't know anything. Go home and color the rest of your books because the Lord's coming. You know what I'm trying to do? I am trying to kind of just break all of the trails that I can now so that these guys can come in and bring the revival. My ministry is that of an H1 Hummer. 8 feet wide, no jokes. Armor plated, no jokes. And I am knocking down every tree I can. You know why? Because right behind me, there's a bunch of Starbucks drinking moose-haired young people coming in an H2, but they're going to do something for God. You understand? They're going to do something for God. Let us encourage our young people. Let's not tell them what they can't do. Guys, if we will go out and build our churches, we can do something for God. And then let's push back all of the forces of the devil. I figure every door I kick open, they ain't got to kick open. All they got to do is go through it. Every tree I knock down, they can step over. Let's give our kids something. Okay? Let's give these kids something. Let's not grab them by the back of the belt and say, you can't do that, you can't go there, you'll never make that. There's no hope. Let's just, hey, you know, I tell some of these guys, they come up there and they play that stinking violin, you know, and they tell me how bad. I said, well, let's just shoot ourselves. I mean, let's just get it over with. I mean, let's just shoot ourselves. It's all so bad anyway, let's just shoot ourselves. You first. You know what I'm telling you, people? We need to quit lying. If somebody asks you how you're doing, tell them you're doing good. You say, but I'm not. Yeah, you are. Man, you're walking. Are you feeding yourself? You're looking at a guy, I thank God when I stub my toe. Because I'm not supposed to be able to do that. I thank God and I stub my toe. I sit in a room sometimes and I think I dress myself. And I feed myself. And I got no complaint, guys. Before God, I have no complaint. I got it good. And you've got it good. And you'll lie about your income. You'll say you don't have enough money. And you'll lie about your health. You don't feel good enough. And you'll lie about your house. It's not big enough. You'll lie about your church. There's always something wrong with it. You preachers, you'll lie about your people. You'll lie about this. You'll lie about that. God has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. And every time somebody asks us a question, we give them a false report. And it made him so mad, he said, I'm mad enough to kill. Didn't he? And it was over his people. It wasn't over the sins, guys. It wasn't. This didn't happen over some of the sins. This happened over bringing a bad report over the blessing of God. Why don't we just really humble ourselves and admit that God's been good to us? He's been good to us. He's been good to us. Man, listen. I told you, you know, the devil won 7 battles since the first year. You know what else? I gained weight. Must be rough. Lose 7 battles to the devil and gain weight while you're doing it. How can I stand this? You know what I'm telling you? Quit being afraid of the devil. Quit being afraid of the truth. Let us do something with the time we have left for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's knock down every wall. I'm not talking about the good walls, guys. I'm talking about the barriers that'll hold these guys back. Let's knock down every tree. Let's sweep the cut. Listen, I mean, I want to do some things. I've got some plans that no Bible believer has ever done before, and I am going to knock some doors open, and these guys are going to come through with a Sherman tank. And that's what I want. And I'm telling you, I am so proud of these guys here. If I could stand on my head, I would. Because they are something else. And if I can't do anything, I'm going to get out of their way. You know how I'm going to get out of their way? I'm going to get right in front of them. And then they're coming so fast. The only way to get out of their way is keep my foot to the floor.
Amen.
Let us do something for God and quit lying. Amen. Father, you have been good to us. There are people here, they have got more food than they can eat in one day in their homes. They have got more clothes than they can wear at one time. They complain about a little ache and a pain. But boy, God, you have been good to us. You have blessed our movement. Our churches are growing. Our missionaries are going to the field. They are making a difference. We are people, God, our churches are growing all the time. New churches popping up. And every time we talk amongst ourselves, we badmouth you. We say the worst things about you, God. We bring false report. And I could understand if you would be mad enough to kill us all. And then on top of that, you would bless us with a generation that is so excited about doing something for you. Dear God, I see it in their eyes. These young men, I am telling you, God, I am so blessed to be with them. Please don't ever let me be in their way. God, bless these pastors. Help them to knock out a wall. Help them to break ground on their building. Help them to buy the property that they're thinking about. God, help them to do something. Help them just to do what they can, or they'll answer for it. And help us get out of the way of these young people. Bless them, God, so they can bless you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Let's go ahead and stand and take our hymnals. Turn to number 325. Number 325, trust and obey. If God spoke to you tonight and you still need to come to the altar is open. Number 325.
trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. In fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side.
I think tonight that we were issued a very appropriate challenge in view of all that we've experienced for the last few days. I really praise the Lord for what He did this week. When we go into these, I always pray, Lord, give us an instant camaraderie that we can sense that Your Spirit's working and that You're going to do something. I think God gave that from us, gave that to us from the get-go on Tuesday morning. And we've been exhorted, we've been challenged, we've been rebuked, we've been encouraged, we've been edified. And our ladies have had a great time as well, and that's so important. And I think Brother Gip brought it all together. I've got a message entitled Regal Disappointment. And it's about Hezekiah, who was a great king. But boy, I tell you what, when he was told that the next generation was going to suffer for his errors, and he said, good is the word of the Lord, if there's peace in my day. I have to admit, I really got disappointed in Hezekiah.
Yeah.
Here was a great king. I mean, he brought revival to the southern tribes. But in his later years, he got a contented attitude. That as long as he didn't have to see the carnage, he really didn't care what happened to the next generation.
Yeah.
And he made that pretty clear. And you know what? As a preacher, I don't want to carry that attitude with me. And that's part of the reason we're doing some of the things we're doing. Why push on at some point, huh, preacher? The reason is right up here. Okay? And all around you, and when you go back to your when you go back to your church this week, think about that, because a lot of the things you heard and a lot of the challenges that were issued and a lot of things that God spoke to your heart, the devil's going to ride with you on the plane, okay, and he's going to whisper in your ear, you can't do that, you've tried before, why try again? But let me give you the answer to all the questions that he's going to throw at you. There. And they're in your church too. You know why these kids want to be up here on the platform with their preacher? Hope. One word. Young people want to be around where there's hope. They don't want to be around fatalism. They don't want to be around this, we're in the Laodicean church age and, we're at the end of our rope, but we'll just tie a knot and hang on and hope we don't fall off and make it until Jesus comes back and all that pessimism that he was talking about. Hey, preacher, be a leader. Don't wait for your congregation to lift you up. Go back and lift them up. Be a man. Play the man. Take what God's given you this week and go for it. Say, preacher, I got some problems waiting for me. I know you do. I've got them too. We've all got them, don't we? Does the Bible say we're here for the perfecting of the saints? Are they perfect yet? Are we perfect yet? That's half of my problem is me. All right, until that time, we're going to have problems. You know what? We got to keep our eyes on the Lord And we got to do it for them. And when they get their eyes off the Lord, we got to point them back to the Lord. We got to keep our focus. We got to keep our leadership. And we got to keep our vision. Ramp it up. Go for it. Take what God's given you this week, this excitement, this edification, this enthusiasm, these ideas, and distill it down and just let them see a new you. I'm not talking about new clothes. I'm not talking about different doctrine. I'm not talking about a new paradigm. I'm talking about a new spirit. I'm talking about a new gleam in your eye. Remember the way you were when you first went into the ministry? I remember when I first went into the ministry, I read John Wesley, preached 8 hours a day, so I was going to preach 8 hours a day. I read that Luther prayed 4 hours a day, so I was going to pray 4 hours a day. That's 12 hours. And then I read one guy, you know, studied for this many hours, and so I was going to do that. I had a 56-hour day. You want to hear the craziest part? For the first couple years, I did it. Hey, folks, the Bible says we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You think confident people, enthusiastic people, people with a vision are just stupid and they don't see all the problems you see? They see all the problems. But you know what? They see a God that's bigger than the problems. And if we could go back to our churches with one thing, let's go back with a confidence in God that He can do it through, are you listening to me? I'm going to use the dirty word, you. Don't go back and say, well, I'm really glad the Lord's doing it there, but I'm really glad for the exhortation that Brother Gip gave me, but get your butt out of the way. God wants to do it through you. The question is, will you let Him? Let me tell you something. We Bible-believing Christians should be the most positive, upbeat preachers that there are. Philippians 4, verse 8 commands it. That's a King James Bible. If you got one, read it. Meditate on those things that God tells you to meditate on. Let that distill into your spirit. And let that pour out over your pulpit. Let that put a bounce in your step. God did not make a mistake when He put you at the head of that church. Lead those people. Give your young people some hope. Folks, we're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. The other side's already lost. Let's walk like it. Let's talk like it. Let's act like it. And when you don't feel like it, let me give you a little secret. Fake it. Fake it. Talk it. Act it. And pretty soon you'll be believing it. The ministry doesn't need any more preachers that look like a deer staring into a set of headlights. Okay? Can you imagine going into a battle with a general that's going, I don't know if the artillery's coming. Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know about the battle plan, guys, but, you know, we really don't have any other choice. Would you like to follow a guy like that into a sheet of steel and lead? No, the guy you want to follow is somebody who says, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. God's on our side. He's the captain of our salvation. Man, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I'm supposed to preach right now, but I think I've probably already done it. Let me ask you a question. How many preachers we got over here in this section? You'd like to give a couple minute testimony here tonight? I mean it. Don't start getting polite and in this section here. Raise your hand if you'd like to give a couple minute testimony.
I'll give one, brother
Michael. All right.
On your Salvation Sunday.
Okay, hang on 1 second. All right. How many preachers in this section? Come on. All right. Okay. How many preachers over here in this section? Okay, all right. Okay. All right. Any preachers up there? All right. Any up there? Up here? Okay. Anybody still want to raise their hand that didn't? Lord's laid something on your heart and you want to say something? All right. Okay. All right. All you preachers that raised your hand, come on up here right now. The rest, let's have a seat. Amen. Let's take some time for testimonies tonight. We appreciate all the men that have come to be with us. I'll tell you what we really appreciate. How many wives came this week? What a blessing. What a blessing. And many brought their children. And it's great to see families come together to something like this. Amen. You guys each take a few minutes apiece.
I just want to say to the preachers, I wanted to say this after Brother DeMichael talked to us about having a Salvation Sunday. He gave that idea to us, I've been down here a number of times and he's talked about it, but we did it, and I want to encourage you to do it. We had 40 people that threatened to come to church, you know, promises. 12 showed up, but 3 got saved. Yeah.
So do it. Work.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm really thankful to the older preachers. And I don't consider them old. My dad is 72, so I don't consider them old. But the older preachers have been a great encouragement to me as a 28-year-old. A lot of camps, you know, that you go to, yeah, you're nothing until you have a church of 200-300. And then maybe I'll come speak for you, you know. And I've seen a lot of that, but it's been encouragement to me, especially the message tonight. And Brother Gipp in the past has also been encouragement to me in this area. The idea of, you know, why can't we just go ahead and do something? Amen. And maybe, who knows, maybe they'll write books about us someday. Amen. And good ones. So that's an encouragement. Pastor Sal is an encouragement to me. And Brother DeMichael, they don't treat you like a kid until you're old enough to have your own church and they can come and speak for you. Amen. They treat you like a young man. And that's what I really appreciate.
My name is Bob Hennell. I'm a missionary in Romania. I got saved when I was 50 years old. God called me almost immediately to go to Romania or go be preach. And I said, no. I said I was too old. I said, God, I'm too comfortable. And it took him 5 years. I wasted 5 years. I graduated from Bible school when I was 60. I went to the mission field when I was 61. I'll be 65 in January. I went over there, like Brother Gipp said. I was going to win the world. And it didn't work like that. Those people were saved in secret. They got baptized in secret. They even worshiped God in secret. They lived their Christian life in secret. It took me 2.5 years of preaching, witness, to get the first man on the street. But now I have 6. I have one guy that goes to the hospital every Saturday and visits those people in the hospital. They can do it better than I can do it. They can speak the language. This man goes to the store first, and he buys about 6 or 12 oranges. You say, that's no big deal. Well, he makes $75 a month, and each orange costs 50 cents. And he buys 12 a week to give away. What have you done lately? And this is a good church. The Romanians, 85% of the Baptist preachers don't believe in eternal security. And they preach that. I hooked up with a 28-year-old preacher. Same age as John Marshall. I'm trying to lead him. I try to be a blessing to him. He always winds up being a bigger blessing to me than I could be to him. It's almost like a jousting match, trying to see who can outdo the other one and being a bigger blessing. He always wins. I don't know. I do not understand that. But he's right. Get out of this next generation's way. They're going to run you over. Amen.
Amen. Just a couple of things here. If you got the tapes from the last couple of years, listen to them over and over again. This last summer, I think I've done that about 3 times, just recycling them. The Salvation Sunday, I want to echo that. We had a Salvation Sunday, got our people real excited about that. 96 people signed up to come to it, 35 came. Nobody got saved, but on the visitation, got to see a father of one of the men in our church get saved. And I just want to tell Brother Sal and Brother DeMichael that this stuff does work. And they know that, and if you practice it, it does work.
Yes, sir.
The other thing was, I wrote all down in my hand here. I oversee or run most of the ministries in my church because of my preacher's health. And I know a lot of you are praying for him because of last year. Him and Brother Turker were brought up by my father to be prayed for. And that frees my preacher up to do the heart matters of the people. And I'll tell you what, folks, being 25, I was getting burdened down. And I listened to those tapes, and they said, Brother Michael said in one of those tapes, he says, there might be somebody out there that you don't think is as qualified as you that can do that ministry better. And I said, I don't think anybody's better right now in our church for the street ministry. And that was hurting. I'm balancing nursing homes on a Saturday and a street ministry at the same time, and the ministries are hurting. And I listened to those tapes, and I said, that man knows a little bit more than I do. And I said, God, you've got to send somebody by my way. He says, I did. And he showed me who the man was. I went to my preacher, and I said, Lord, I said, preacher, I said, what do you think about this? He said, I'll pray about it. I prayed about it. And I turned it over to that man. We have a big rally, I guess you would say it's a harbor fest. That doesn't mean anything to you. But 300,000 people come down to the town that we street preach in for a 4-day get-together and big party, basically. And I turned this ministry over to this man, and I oversee it, but he runs it, and he's tenacious. He loves it, and he goes out there, and he got saved out of the muck and the mire of this world, and he just hates sin, and so he goes and attacks it. And we went down there, and we got about 5 churches involved, got to pass out about 4,000 tracts, and because of this man, we got to give our governor a tract. And I just tell you what, you got those tapes, you take these notes, do what they say. Because it does work.
I'll take the opportunity to say thank you to this church. It's been a blessing to me and my wife, Pastor. We live up there in Chalice, 900 folks. In the short time we've been there, 5 years, we've seen a little over 100 folks get saved. Problem is, people pass through and come, and we have been on fire. Boy, he hit my heart. When I went down there, I was going to light the town on fire. I just recently lost one of my best friends to the ministry. He passed away over the hill from us, and my batteries have been on the low. And they really have. It's like, what can I do? What can I do? Brother Havman gives me a call. You make sure and be here, brother. You need to be here. I said, all right, I'll come. We planned on being here. Right now we're having VBS. But I trust my church will take care of VBS. I didn't know that was in the Bible, so it's okay if I'm not there. And Brother Gip is, you know, he's the first guy we've ever had up there. I just learned something from your son, how to take notes on your, right there in the ink. You're going to get ink poisoning, it'll be your fault. But he convicted me. I know he convicted my wife. We enjoy him. But we got him to come up to our church. And that's something our church hasn't really seen, Baptist people. They just haven't seen that, so I'm trying to incorporate that in. Because I've only been saved for 7 years myself. And when God called me to preach, you know, and people are going to tell you, don't do it, don't do it. Don't do it, Bobby, don't do it. But that's the voice. And but God has blessed. He's blessed tremendously. And I got to thinking, I got a good group. I don't know, the wild man that we heard today, Doty. I'm afraid to get with the guy because I'll probably lose. But I'll be the dude biting his knees, I guess. But my point is, he really gave me a vision for what kids we do have. And I told Brother Pavman this. I learned more today, and I've been to some of the bigger conferences across the country. And people, you know, they feel sorry for you because you're a church that big. Yeah. And so they'll give you a trip, and they'll get you over there. I got more out of this, and I was guarded myself. I mean, I didn't know I was going to come up here tonight and say anything, but I have guarded myself in my feelings about this. Because you go to a place where they just basically dump it on you. But I didn't get dumped on. I got good notes.
Yep.
Good set of men. If I was going in the battle, and I've always felt this, and I'm kind of an upfront guy. I'm fairly quiet until my dander gets moving. But what I guess I'm trying to say is if I had to go to battle, this is the crowd I want to battle with.
Amen.
Amen. So I do appreciate it much.
Amen.
Well, you have to kind of forgive me. I'm not used to standing in front of this many people. I want to thank the church here, Brother Michaels. It's, I want to thank Brother Hadman. Sunday, I closed my Bible, and I said, quit. 60 years old. I don't need this. It's the first time. Forgive me, okay? Didn't know which way to turn, which way to go. Just a lot of good directions. And I look at my young people. I couldn't quit.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You can't. That'll work.
I've got children, grandchildren that I've saved and baptized. Yep. How can you quit? Just thank the church. I really mean that. I never dreamt that it would help me so much.
Yeah.
And just appreciate the brethren.
Yes, sir.
I really do. Been a lot of help. So thank you.
Amen. Let me just say it's been such a blessing to be here this whole time. And I'd like to thank, again, this church and everybody involved in putting this whole meeting together. It's just been wonderful. I had a great time. As far as the meetings go, I've learned so much, so many things that I'd like to do now. My pastor has a great second man already, but I figure two second men would be better than one. And if I can be that, that's what I'll try to be. I'll try to be whatever I can for my pastor. That's something I've learned here at this meeting thus far. We got to go skeet shooting today. You can't do that in Canada. They might come with a helicopter and put you in a concentration camp there in Canada. But, we were just shooting up a storm. I tell you, that was a blessing, huh? A gun, you know? I don't even know what a gun is like in Canada.
Yeah.
Amen. That was great. Let me just say also, as far as Brother Gipp's message tonight, it sure was a blessing, Brother Gipp. You know, I mentioned this on Sunday, but maybe some of you don't know. As far as I've been on the road with Brother Drummond for about a month now. We've gone to different churches and whatnot, seen a lot, learned a lot, and it was a blessing, I tell you. But Brother Pickett reminded me of this today, just in a statement he made to me. On the road, I had two people tell me on two separate occasions, there's no such thing as a spiritual teenager. And there's no teenager that can serve God. And that's been, you know, down on the road. And I thought, you know, and I'm not trying to say that I'm a spiritual teenager, so there. I'm saying I know some that are spiritual teenagers. We have some kids in our church. Brother Gip mentioned Brandon Lake. He's not a teenager anymore, but there's some young people who are spiritual people. And you know, if I'm anything, I'm just simple Andy from Austin. But you know, if God uses me for anything, it's for two reasons. It's one, because of the grace of God. I don't deserve to be used of God. I understand that. But two, it's because I've got some men of God who just step behind me and push me on. I've got guys. My pastor is a wonderful guy. He just gets behind me and he pushes me for all he can. And I've got to thank my pastor for that. He's not here today, but I have a wonderful pastor. I have good friends from my church. They're here tonight, a couple of them, Brother Sweat, Brother Shupley, and Brother Pickett. I mean, just encouragements. Brother Gip, Brother Drummond, I've got some men of God that are pushing me. And you know what? When somebody comes up to me and says there's no such thing as a spiritual teenager, there's no such thing as a teenager that can serve God, you know, a lot of teenagers, that would derail. I just kind of shoveled it over my shoulder. And again, that's not because I'm special. That's because I've got these guys who are just pushing for me. And one or two statements here and there is not even going to, doesn't even faze me. And that's just because I've got some good guys and some men praying for me. Boy, I tell you, I've got a praying mother and a praying father. I tell you, you ought to thank God for that. And let me just encourage you folks, like Brother Gip tonight, if you've got some teenagers in your church, just push them. Just push for them. And like you said, get out of their way if that's what needs to be done. Just encourage them. Be there for them. And you know what? If somebody comes along and tries to knock them, I mean, the devil doesn't want a next generation coming up, you know? And if you're encouraging them, if you're doing what some men, by the grace of God, have done for me, they'll keep going. And hopefully I make it. I'd appreciate you folks praying for me. I'd like to see revival come to my country. You know, everybody makes jokes about Canada, and myself included, but I am a Canadian, and I'm proud to be one. And, you know, I'm blessed that you folks are our neighbors. It's been a blessing to be down here for a month. But I tell you what, I'd like to see God do something great in my country. And I know seeing Brother Gip's son, some of these guys that sang here, you got some good guys here too. I know God could do something great in this country if you'll just support those kids. And that would be a blessing to me, and that would be a blessing to all them who are going. And thank you again. I appreciate it.